Welcome to episode 12 of Celluloid Tunes. Celluloid Tunes is the first and only webcast about film music in Norway, and my name is Tor Joachim Haga. First of all, I have to apologize for the delay in getting this episode out. It's been more than a month since the last one, and well, I have to blame it on a very busy schedule in January. But as promised, here is the episode that gives you the 10 best scores of 2013, according to Celluloid Tunes. I've listened to several hundred scores over the last year, and overall I would say it was a pretty good one, although there aren't that many striking wow scores for some reason, just a generally high level of quality throughout. A broad range of styles were covered for an equally eclectic mix of films, both from Hollywood and outside. There are classical symphonic works, electronic scores, more pop rock-oriented styles, and smaller, more chamber-sized pieces. So my list will reflect that, some famous titles and some that you've probably not even heard of. Now, I have some parameters that I've worked within. There are no Norwegian titles here. I'm saving that for a later episode. Also, this is limited purely to feature-length films, no video games or television scores, etc. Otherwise, the project would be too huge. With that in mind, let's start the countdown from 10 and upwards. Number 10 was a surprise score at the end of the year by veteran and legendary composer Angelo Badalamenti, perhaps most famous for his many collaborations with David Lynch. Now, the film in question was called Stalingrad, a historical epic from Russia directed by Fyodor Bondarchuk. And I've heard some bad things about the film, but that's really unimportant in this case. Because the music is truly wonderful, and it takes Badalamenti back to the large orchestral palette that he used for films such as The City of Lost Children and Cousins. It's big and Russian and bold, heavily thematic, with large choir and orchestra. Of course, not all the cues are equally interesting, and some even fall into the all-too-popular Ostinato style, but the highlight tracks are quite amazing. So let's hear the opening track, Stalingrad theme, with alto soprano Anna Netrebko, a cue that is slightly reminiscent of another legend, namely Ennio Morricone.
Thank you.
That was the theme from Stalingrad with music by Angelo Badalamenti. At number 9 is a relatively small film. It's a British romantic drama directed by Christopher Menon by the name of Summer in February. Summer in February. It's a period flick set to the early 20th century, and it tells the story of a love triangle within a group of bohemian artists in Cornwall. And the score is composed by the young British composer and conductor Benjamin Wallfisch. It might not be a familiar name to most of you, but he's actually a renowned conductor of many great orchestras and has previously worked as orchestrator on Dario Marianelli's scores, for example. And for this film, he has composed a lush, broad, romantic score, utilizing a fairly straightforward tonal language, but with so much heart that it even compares to some of James Horner's greatest efforts in the genre, in my opinion. Fairly prominent are the piano solos by Yuya Wang and some beautiful pastoral writing for woodwinds. And perhaps it's not accidental that the album was released by Deutsche Grammophon, since it has that very classical feeling, referencing some of the greatest romantic composers of the late 19th century. It's retro, it's thematic, and it's simply a very classy score that washes over you with this sense of melodrama. And this is the opening cue, La Morna, from Summer in February, with music by Benjamin Wallfisch. That was Summer in February by Benjamin Wallfish. On to number 8. And this is a completely different style altogether. We're back in Hollywood for one of the big blockbusters of the year, and that is Oblivion, directed by Joseph Kosinski, this post-apocalyptic science fiction film starring Tom Cruise. I actually loved the film, despite the references to other films and despite perhaps a rather predictable story. It had some amazing visual shots that captured a lot of symbolism in themselves. At times, even with almost Stanley Kubrick-style symmetry, and perhaps that is courtesy of the cinematographer in this case, the excellent Claudio Miranda. Now, the music was composed by the French synth-rock band M83, fronted by Anthony Gonzalez, in collaboration with the composer Joseph Trapanese. And also, interestingly for Norwegians, the singer and songwriter Susanne Sundfør on the end title song. Obviously, Kosinski worked with Daft Punk on his previous film, Tron Legacy, and in this film he continues to tap the talent of great electronic artists. Now, not all of the score for the film is equally great. Many of the cues fall into the ubiquitous Inception grooves and ostinati, but when it's let loose, it's truly a marvelous piece of music. Haunting, lofty textures that add depth to the already beautiful images. Perhaps best exemplified with the many reverberated snare drums. So here is the cue Star Waves from Oblivion, composed by M83 and Joseph Trapanese. That was the cue Star Waves from Oblivion, with the music by M83 and Joseph Trapanese. Number 7 is yet another romantic drama, this time none other than Romeo and Juliet, director Carlo Carlei's version of the famous story from 2013. There was some controversy surrounding the film, since Carlei didn't use the Shakespeare dialogue as previous film versions, but he did at least set it to the traditional Renaissance Verona as the original story. And there was also some controversy on the music side, because originally James Horner was signed to do the score, but for some reason or other that never panned out. And it's a bit strange, because Horner does this genre very well. So in Horner's place, the Polish hotshot composer Abel Korzeniowski stepped in, perhaps most famous still for his beautiful A Single Man from 2009. So in one way, this is sort of familiar territory. It's a score that paints its story in broad strokes, with prominent piano, strings, and even vocal elements. But unlike Summer in February, this relies perhaps a bit more on minimalistic ideas. These repetitive structures that Korzeniowski is so known for. So it treads the line between heartfelt romance on one side and a more melancholic sense of tragedy on the other. So far, Korzeniowski hasn't done a single bad score in his career, and this continues to prove his stature as one of our most promising film composers. So this is the cue, Wedding Vows from Romeo and Juliet.
Thank you.
That was Wedding Vows from the 2013 version of Romeo and Juliet, music by Abel Korsenjovsky. On our sixth place is a Russian film. It's a docudrama about the first man in space, Yuri Gagarin, and the film is also called Gagarin First in Space. And it is directed by Pavel Parkomenko with Yaroslav Zalnin in the role as the famous astronaut. Now, I haven't seen the film yet, and I guess the distribution is quite limited, but I was immediately taken by this score composed by the relative newcomer George Kallis. Kallis is a young Greek composer with a multifaceted background, from heavy metal to classic symphonic writing. And this score belongs in the latter category, as it's recorded with the 100-piece Russian State Symphony Orchestra and Choir. So yes, it's quite a big score in many ways. And it encapsulates the epic drama and the suspense of space travel, as well as keeping things intimate and personal when needed. And of course, there are elements of Hans Zimmer, but there seems to be a lot of Basil Poldaris too, especially these big chromatic scales of the Russian anthems that Poldaris used in The Hunt for the Red October, for example. So let's listen to the cue, the launch of Vostok from Gagarin, First in Space. That was the launch of Vostok from Gagarin, first in space, music composed by George Kallis. Number five on our list takes us back to Hollywood again, to what is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated and misunderstood films of the year, namely Michael Bay's blockbuster Pain and Gain. Now, I loved what Bay did in this film, using all his trademark visual elements to almost make a parody of himself, a sort of black comedy chock full of these wonderfully over-the-top set pieces that consciously or unconsciously create a satire over the very thing it sets out to do. And the music is by Steve Jablonsky, who also did Transformers and The Island for Michael Bay, both of which are excellent scores, in my opinion. And yes, there are the Zimmer elements again, but it's done so deliciously, going from dubstep to ethereal electric guitars to funky riffs. And so it reminds me a bit of what Trevor Rabin used to do in the 90s, when he was at his very best. There isn't so much in terms of melody, but there's all the more in terms of wonderful oral soundscapes that captures the sun and the glitz and the testosterone and the shallowness of the story. And I think this cue is a great example of that. It's the track Run Him Over from Pain and Gain.
Thank you.
That was Run Him Over from Pain and Gain, music by Steve Jablonski. At fourth place is the film Prisoners, directed by Denis Villeneuve, the intense kidnapping drama that went against Hollywood convention by having a much slower tempo and relying more on the characters than the action and suspense. And the score was composed by the Icelandic composer Johan Johansson. And the fascinating thing about it is that it uses mostly soft string textures, playing almost religious harmonies throughout the film, even in the suspenseful sequences. So it's quite hypnotizing, and it doesn't really alienate the listener in its approach. But it showcases sort of a particular style or trend in film music these days that highlights experimental ambient textures, an intellectual, an artsy style of ambience, if you will, also evident in Hanan Townsend's music for Terrence Malick's To the Wonder, which would be a good companion piece to this particular soundtrack. It sort of sits there, creating an almost otherworldly mood as the characters fall into despair, one by one. So, this is the opening track, The Lord's Prayer, from Prisoners. That was The Lord's Prayer from Prisoners, with music by Johan Johansson. So, and now we're at the top three. At third place in our list of the 10 best scores of 2013 is another rather unknown piece. It's from a Spanish thriller called Gran Piano, directed by Eugenio Mira and starring Elijah Wood as a pianist, who has to play all his notes right if he wants to live. Sounds like a peculiar concept, perhaps, but I haven't seen the film, but I think it's intriguing nonetheless. The film premiered in festivals last year and will probably have a video on demand release sometime later in 2014. And the composer of the film is Víctor Reyes from Spain, who is probably most known for his work on the claustrophobic thriller Buried a couple of years ago, starring Ryan Reynolds as a guy buried alive. Grand Piano doesn't have a soundtrack release yet, and there isn't much music in the film, as far as I know. But what is there is truly mind-boggling. Reyes wrote this long piano concerto for the concert scene in the film, somewhat in the style of Rachmaninoff, which rolls along from the virtuoso on one side to the more contemplative. Across the concerto's three movements. So let's hear the first 5 minutes of the first movement to give you an idea about the skill involved in this particular work.
Thank you.
That was a snippet from the first movement of the Grand Piano Concerto for the film Grand Piano, with music by Spanish composer Victor Reyes. Moving on to our second place, we're once again back in Hollywood to what is, in my opinion, the best film of 2013. And I'm obviously talking about Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity, starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney as astronauts who must survive in space as something goes wrong with their routine mission. It's just a fantastic film that uses all its tools and means to give us the feeling that we're really in space. I mean, both the 3D and the way the set pieces are organized, subscribing to realism as much as possible. Of course, an element of being in space means that there is no sound, and the film follows this dogma throughout. However, to add dramatic tension, it still uses film music in a few crucial moments with extremely effective results. And the music, in this case, is by Stephen Price, who previously did the British horror cult film Attack the Block. And while the ostinato-driven action segments may remind you of Zimmer at first, there's actually far more to it than that. I mean, the way the music twists and turns using this weird dissonance alongside pounding percussion and brass, and it becomes a sort of organic part of the experience rather than something tagged on from the outside. So it doesn't really detract from the realism of the film in a way. Towards the end of the film, Price can finally go all out with an epic, life-affirming piece of music that carries the spacecraft, really, as well as the spectator to for a final ride, if you will. So let's play the full 6 minutes of the track Shenzhou from Gravity. Incidentally, the only score on my list that recently also received an Oscar nomination. That was the spine-chilling track Shenzhou from Gravity, the music by Stephen Price. So, that finally brings us to what I consider is the best score of 2013. And I've actually cheated a bit because I've included two scores in the first spot. And the reason for this is that I want to highlight what is, in my opinion, the most remarkable composer discovery of 2013. And the composer's name is Laurent Eyquem. I'm not quite sure about the pronunciation, but he's a French composer who, for me, has come completely out of nowhere to provide two of the most beautiful scores of the year. The first is for Ron Maxwell's film Copperhead, set during the American Civil War, about a farmer who has to defend his pacifist stand against a harassing community. And for the film, Eyquem taps into a beautiful lyrical sentiment reminiscent of Georges Delerue and John Williams, especially their more bittersweet side, while also keeping the period music, the rural Americana folk music, which is also an integral part of these compositions. The second title by Eyquem that I've chosen is the biopic Winnie Mandela, starring Jennifer Hudson and Terrence Howard. I haven't seen the film, so it could very well be a glossy interpretation of the famous wife of the late Nelson Mandela. But the music lives its own life in a way. And there are a number of source cues in the film, and obviously elements in the score that mirror the South African setting. But for the most part, it's another example of the composer's fantastic ability to write lyrical themes. But music speaks louder than words, as it were. So let's hear the main titles from Copperhead, followed by the very uplifting cue Sunrise from Winnie Mandela. That was selections from Copperhead and Winnie Mandela with the music by the French composer Laurent Aiquem. And that actually concludes our list of the 10 best scores of 2013. I hope you enjoyed it and that you discovered some gems that you would otherwise not have known about. Obviously, there are many more brilliant scores this year, and I have to give a special mention to some of them, namely To the Wonder by Hayden Townsend, The Book Thief by John Williams, Queen of Carthage by Brian Byrne, Passion by Pino Donaggio, Lost Years, A People's Struggle by Daniel Fung, Night Train to Lisbon by Annette Fox, Only God Forgives and Spring Breakers, both by Cliff Martinez, and the latter in collaboration with Skrillex, as well as the television scores Wild Arabia by Barnaby Taylor and Legends of Chima by Anthony Lido. So that should get your shopping list started anyway. Of course, I welcome your own personal favorites in the comments field. My list is no more valuable or valid than yours. And please feel free to share this episode in your social media so that we can get a few more listeners for Celluloid Tunes. I will be back shortly with another episode in Norwegian this time, and I promise that the next one will be out quicker than this one. So, thank you for tuning in, and until next time, happy listening.